live show means that you're doing it live, but if you do it pre-recorded, why don't they call that a dead show?
Because that's not very positive, and it also just sounds
why
like...
Why are they afraid of the contrast? They called it live, they could call it whatever they want, it's live. It should be dead.
If you call it dead, it sounds like it's dead in the water. It sounds like it's not going to do anything. It sounds like it's not going to be entertaining. It sounds like it's lifeless. It sounds boring.
Well, look, they're all the ones that set up the dichotomy. Every dichotomy has that in it, baked in it, right? There are very few. This is how the human brain works. Mm-hmm. Now, on a binary scale, it's monism, you know? It's light and dark. Left and right. You think, oh, some people are left-handed, some people are right-handed. No, left, sinister, literally means left. That means on the left, on your left. So that's the good, the bad, the evil. Just embrace it. This is a dead show. We're not doing this live.
I hate it.
Welcome to the Dead Show.
I'm voicing that right now.
Welcome to the Just Enough Trope podcast. I'm your host, Caliban, alive on the inside, and I'm joined as always by my co-host.
Hi, I'm Mikan Hana, and apparently I'm dead on the inside, so, because I'm your polar opposite.
No, that's not true. You can have
everything
two people.
Is black.
You can have two people. And we are two sides of the same coin. We're not that different, you and I.
Yeah, right.
God. Back to
you got white paint on one side of your face and black paint on the other side, and then it's the opposite.
Star Trek show.
Me.
It's a different show. We're here to report all the news that's fit to cast in the world of nerdy entertainment and talk about pop culture.
That's right.
We are pop culture detectives, and I swear to God, I was using that before the very popular YouTuber. Pop culture detective began making his videos, but
dang it!
So he's got it. He's got it TM'd, but that's still what we do.
Mm-hmm.
And we're here to talk about Black Widow. We have a ongoing series. This is like the fourth entry in the series, I believe.
Is it the fourth? I thought it was the third.
Maybe it's
have lost count because the pandemic has that effect on my brain.
But it's had that effect on all of us, and it's affected the release of the Black Widow movie, which now has just completely. They've given up, and it's the year that never happened. I think we all twigged to that way earlier than they did. But most movie studios, especially Marvel and Warner Brothers, and their superhero properties have just gone, screw it. We'll erase the zero, whoop, put a one in there. And so now it'll be coming out in May of 2021, excuse me. Hey, look,
we're
man.
Travel
how old,
in time.
How old do you want to be?
It is a prequel.
How old? Take some years off your life there. But it was going to come out May of this year, then pushed to November. And that's why we're doing this. It was last weekend.
Right.
It had been changed to, I don't think that was ever that serious. That was always in pencil and not pen.
Probably.
But because of that, we've been able to take this time. Really couldn't have planned it any better. If Mickey Mouse had like a mask on and like a vial full of glowing green stuff, and he's like, huh? And they poured it out into the world's water supply to give everybody a chance to watch Endgame and then go, oof, let's push back from the table, unbutton our pants, right? And then this is 2020 is the movie pop culture equivalent of watching a couple football games
after Thanksgiving dinner,
and then and then just having a nap and then waking up and thinking turkey sandwich sounds pretty good right about now. With the stuffing inside.
Right.
And that's what we're doing. So how do you keep a audience from getting tired and overexposed to your product? Cancel all movies everywhere forever.
Apparently.
It was an inside job. COVID was an inside job. Disney did this. We also provide crazy conspiracy theories as well.
Blame the mouse.
But what we've been able to do is very fittingly examine the life of Natalia Romanova, aka Natasha Romanoff, the Black Widow, as she's going to do in her movie.
Yeah.
I think.
I hope.
This is going to be a movie that spans both her past and her future. Mm-hmm. Hopefully she has a future. Come on. She's not dead. This is comics.
I hope not.
We'll see.
That would be.
We got.
Ooh, you're giving me hope. You're giving me hope.
ScarJo has. Don't do that.
Don't do that because it's just going
to
get
ScarJo
yanked away from
years
me.
Years left to say things that get her in trouble. That's what I think. But
yeah,
we'll talk about that later in the Black Widow segment, which I should say we're talking about the 4-issue miniseries Black Widow Deadly Origin, written by Paul Cornell, released in the year 2010.
Mm-hmm.
Really. This is, we've now crossed over into the, you can't just do whatever you want anymore. Now everything is kind of responsive, right? So this was written, commissioned, I believe, in response to the appearance of the character played by Scarlett Johansson in the film Iron Man 2.
Iron Man 2, yeah.
Now the comic, the movies are affecting the comics and vice versa.
That is true.
And we'll talk about...
For better or for worse.
We'll talk about that. Yeah. Because this will really be... We could go on after this. There is more Black Widows, but eventually we'll just reach Black Widow's first ongoing, which was, oh boy, the Marjorie Liu one, I think?
Okay.
I'm supposed to be the expert.
You are.
Well, there's a Nathan Edmondson one, and there's a Marjorie, and then there's the Mark Waid one, and then now there's another one that was written by the Skull Sisters or whatever.
Okay.
Anyway, 21st Century Marvel, just, hey, reboot it. Achoo! Reboot it, number one.
Yeah.
What? Hey, let's celebrate rebooting it by rebooting it. So it gets a little muddy after that, but yeah, we'll talk about it. We'll talk about it.
Yeah.
How you doing?
How you doing?
Is that how you doing?
How you doing? I'm doing okay, Joey. I did have a question.
I love the fact, speaking of friends, real quick.
Yeah.
I've been thinking a lot about Japan all the time, but specifically
all
because
the time.
Of our show Sailor Noob.
Yes.
And speaking of cultural contamination, you know, just the arrival of the black ships and the, you know, the change, immediate change in the culture of Japan.
Sure.
And the fact that they are commanded by Commodore Matthew Perry, and there's nothing you can do. It's not. Matthew Perry should have been Matthew J. Perry or something like
right.
that. But it's too late. So now it's just like, could this country be any more open? I just always think that, and all you can do
just
is just
picture a guy in a uniform that looks like Matthew Perry doing Joey from Friends,
or Chandler.
Oh, it's Chandler. Sorry, yeah. Sorry. Wow.
Yeah.
Shows you how much I remember.
I don't remember anything. I didn't really watch Friends all that much.
I did. I was super into it when I was a kid.
Of course.
Have you gone
back now and went, whew?
I actually have not watched it probably since the 90s. And even like towards the end of its run was not really into it as much. Like the last couple of seasons, I was kind of like, eh. But I did. Do you remember the Warner Brothers store?
yeah.
I remember, I think maybe I was on vacation somewhere, maybe Arizona or something like that, and there was a Warner Brothers store. I was super excited, and I went in there and was shopping, looking at all the fun stuff, and totally brought a friend's shirt.
To go with your Marvin the Martian plushie?
I wish I had a Marvin the Martian plushie.
I'd like to see
that
the
would be cooler.
I'd like to see, well, those obviously, you know, eventually died out.
Because
yes. I guess you can't. You know, the next generation that hasn't seen Space Jam, I guess, is then
weird,
you're dead.
Right?
But I'd like to see the numbers on that.
Because, I mean, the Disney store is still going strong. So what is it that Disney...
I don't know if it's going strong, but it still exists.
There are people who are obsessed
oh,
with
I know.
Everything
I was in theater.
Disney. Yeah, I know.
I know 50% of the people I worked with were, just to give you a perspective, gay guys who worked at the Disney store and loved it.
Right. But
and got you discounts.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. They hooked you up. But I just it's I guess it's like, what is it that Disney has? Like, they just that their marketing team is like that much more on top of things than like Warner Brothers. Like,
well, it's all well now they've it's IP ownership, right? I mean, it's classic characters like Snow White and so forth.
Yeah.
But it's also you could buy Marvel stuff there now, I suppose.
Right.
And Muppet
stuff. Well,
that's
true. Muppet stuff, Star Wars stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. They own everything.
Pretty soon there'll be one store. It'll
know,
just be Disney.
I know.
Yeah, we'll work for them.
Yes. I'm
Disney
a little afraid of that.
Disney presents. Disney plus, minus, divided. Disney asterisk presents the Just Enough Trill podcast. Featuring pop culture detectives led by Goofy when he wears the Sherlock Holmes thing. Didn't Goofy have that?
I think he probably
yeah.
did.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah. Yeah. I always wondered, like, how does, like, a Goofy and, like, Pluto work? Like, because Pluto is a dog,
right.
but, like,
don't
Goofy
do,
is a...
What are you doing? Mitch Hedberg material? What were you going to say before we started doing this?
I don't remember.
Oh, great. Well, that's...
I got distracted by Friends, so I had to share my little Friends comment. I haven't watched it. Maybe I should go back and try to watch it. I kind of doubt I'd like it as much. I remember really liking Phoebe. Like, she was, like, my favorite character.
I think,
so.
Sure, Mickey and Goofy as Sherlock Holmes and Dr. Watson.
Yeah.
And Mickey was nice enough to let Goofy be Sherlock. How did I pull
How
that?
How gracious. Yeah, that's awesome.
How did I pull that?
I don't know. It's kind of, that just in your brain. in your brain juice.
Pop culture detective.
Yeah.
But Mickey's a detective sometimes too, it looks like. Or wait, maybe Goofy's. Goofy has is tall and he has a cane, a walking cane.
Oh, so he's Watson. Never mind.
Oh, because I guess Watson has a cane. But everybody had a cane back then. Mm-hmm. Sherlock Holmes was a master of Baritsu, which is a fake martial art invented by Sir Arthur Conan Doyle after he watched The Mikado, probably. And and it's, you know, it's supposed to be the martial art for the urban gentleman, right?
Sure.
So it's, you
so
know,
British.
A lot of like kicking, but you know, and punching, but also the use of the turning the cane into a weapon.
I haven't seen it, but it just sounds like what's
now,
that?
Now that how did I pull that?
Yeah, right. It sounds like that's a lot of what they use in what are those British movies the where they're spies.
Carry on.
Spies and they're kicking and there's canes.
Oh,
the
Kingsman.
Kingsman. Thank
yeah,
you.
I don't think that's quite what that is.
Oh,
but,
okay. That's just what I thought of.
Yeah, but that would work though. Yeah. Yeah, you use the thing. And also, you have to, a lot of slow-mo, and then you have to explain what you're going to do.
Sure.
Right? Like those Guy Ritchie films?
Yeah,
You have to mind fight.
Right, exactly. Yeah, you have to, Sherlock Holmes has to have a whole fight in his mind before he has a fight.
Let's talk about the news.
All right.
Well, speaking of Disney and all their wonderful properties, they are continuing to remake them, and we're going to get a live-action Lilo and Stitch movie directed by John M. Chu.
Oh,
not
okay.
John Chu, John M. Chu. See, that's how you do it, Matthew Perry.
They're like, well, there's nobody Matthew Perry in the entertainment business. Go for it. Okay, I mean, I guess I'm not that surprised. They're going to do live action everything.
Lilo?
I thought it was
Lilo. You're probably right. I've never seen the film.
I thought it was Lilo, but I question everything. So that's just what I thought
it was. That sounds more Hawaiian.
Yeah. It's a really cute, sweet movie, and I like the movie a lot. It's been a while since I've seen it.
Is it a cute movie?
It's really cute.
I thought the thing was that Stitch had attitude. He had tude.
Oh, he has a lot of tude, and he's
and they had
kinda
to
like a terrible
change
influence.
The ending of the film because you know they fly a plane into a building or something like that.
Oh, okay. Shows you how much I remember.
it wasn't in the film. That's why you don't
right.
know about it.
But like a big part of the film is about family and being together.
Oh,
and that
a Disney
sort of
movie?
Thing.
Wow.
Yeah, I know, right? But it's hard for me to get really excited about the live action films because I have not really liked any of them that I've seen so far.
No, they all suck.
So okay.
I mean,
guess.
you can do. Let's think about good. Boy, this is okay. Pop, put your Deerstalker on. Pop culture detective. Remakes that were unnecessary but were like well executed. Ugh. Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
Oh yeah.
Your turn.
Yeah. Sure. Oh gosh. Oh, I hate being put on the spot.
Sorry.
What is a remake but is good? Not a movie, but Battlestar Galactica.
Okay,
series.
Sure. Yeah. It's updating the cultural context.
Yes.
Right? So we're going from the Red Scare paranoia of original Body Snatchers to the Philip Kaufman, you know, freak out. What does it do? It kind of criticizes, like, self-help and that sort of thing and, like, counterculture. Not in, like, these hippies, but also, like, yeah, I mean, you think you're thinking in a different way, but there are a lot of different ways to think. And mm-hmm. so the sort of, am I just relitigating the film here?
I don't know.
I think it's like the sort of, I want to be a Pepper 2 sort of conformity of the non-conforming business.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. the whole like Sprite idea of like, hey, don't let anybody tell you what to do. Drink Sprite. Well, it seems like I'm going to go have some tea
seems
or something,
like
right?
You just told me what to do.
But you're like doing it self-consciously, like, hey, right? Individualism.
This is my choice.
Everyone drinks Sprite.
To do. Right.
Yeah, and get in this pod. Yeah, right. All right, I made that way longer than it had to be. But anyway, yeah, it's a Lilo and Stitch. Also, let's have a Disney section
because mm-hmm.
that's like half of the news anyway. So it looks like Darkwing Duck is getting a reboot.
Okay.
We don't know anything about it except it's going to be produced by Seth Rogen and Evan Goldberg.
Wow. All right. Okay. I used to love Darkwing Duck. It's been a really long time since I watched it, but I absolutely loved it as a kid. And I'm thinking of the theme song right now. And it's, you know, it's really catchy. And I liked how sassy he was and like how incompetent he was at times too, but so, like also successful.
Let's talk. Let's talk.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I love Batman.
Yes.
And you know, I love a good buffoon.
He kind of embodies both
of
them. I
hate Darkwing Duck.
What?
I'm old enough to remember when the Disney Afternoon, you know, was burgeoning, and they announced Darkwing Duck, and I thought, like, that seems great. It's like a superhero show in the world of, you know, Duckburg, you know, the duck world. And then the first episode, he's a complete idiot. And I was like, screw this show. Forget it.
Whoa.
So I sometimes watched it, but I like hate watched it at 10 or however old I was.
Hate watching it at such a young age.
And of course, the big breakout star is, you know, Gizmo Duck, right?
Wow, I don't even remember Gizmo Duck. So.
Gizmo Duck?
Yeah.
Did you forget about him or are you forgetting about him right now?
Both, I think.
All right. We'll do that thing where we do where we go. Look behind
look
you.
Look behind you? Okay. Tell me when to look behind me.
Or was Gizmo Duck? Okay. You can't. No, it's on Darkwing Duck. Gizmo Duck. He's a duck Robocop.
Oh, okay. That wasn't as big of a deal for me for some reason. But now that I see the picture, yes, I remember.
Anyway, so that's going to happen. It's funny because they did that Green Hornet movie that didn't do well with the actual John Chu, right? And this is like the same thing. Darkwing Duck is, yeah, he's Batman, but there's a lot of shadow in him. There's a lot of Green Hornet in him.
Yeah, sure.
And so, I don't know. I guess they're the right guys to do it, except Green Hornet wasn't good. So, I don't know.
Try it with a cartoon, see if it works better. I don't know. Yeah. I mean, didn't they relaunch
DuckTales? DuckTales?
Isn't it going well?
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't checked it out. Maybe I should do that.
Maybe don't tell people that. Seems like a bad pop culture
detective. Oh, wow.
Let's also talk about the Marvel films. Star-Lord is going to be in Thor: Love and Thunder.
Oh.
At this point, I feel like anybody can be in any film, you know, but they're just confirming, you know, we're going to see, because that is going to come out before Guardians 3, right?
Yeah.
Which was not the plan.
I know,
the plan was ruined, you know, by everything that's happened. But so now that will come out first, and they will have to sort of like explain. Now, my thing is like, obviously you can't just, sure, Natalie Portman is a Oscar winning actress and an A-list and a draw, but you can't just immediately throw it to Jane Foster and
we have to see that build somehow.
Chris Hemsworth will, you know, have to be in this, and then we'll have to explain like why he's fat and why he's with the Guardians of the Galaxy or whatever. So it looks like Star-Lord will be in it.
I mean, that makes sense that he Thor was with the Guardians at the end of Endgame, so that makes total sense. I guess I was kind of thinking that was going to happen anyways, but it's cool it's been confirmed.
Yeah, something that the MCU, I think, does is that they have a plan, whether or not they know exactly how it works or they're telling us about it. They do definitely have a plan.
I feel like they do,
but
even if the pieces move around, like you were talking about.
But if you lose a Terrence Howard or T'Challa dies, like, you know, I feel like they also can deal with roll with the punches.
Do we know yet?
That's what we're seeing here.
Yeah.
Or if like Chris Pratt's like, you know, a crazy conservative that people just get fed up with.
Well, they haven't asked him to leave yet.
No, but you can't ask somebody to leave because they're a conservative. It's you know, you can have conservative views. Zach Levy, the guy who plays Shazam, had a real dumb tweet where, like, right after the election was over, and it isn't over, right? It's still going on right now, but he's like, you know, whatever side you're on, it's good. Let's just all get back together and do this. It's like, that doesn't work because the head of one of the sides is trying to destroy the democratic system. So that's a real out of touch post. And why don't you just keep your dumb mouth shut, dumb actor guy? Why don't you just wait for the fallout to
clear? Know, before you, I agree with you, but
you can't fire somebody for being dumb.
No, but I've heard similar sentiments from people that I'm friends with on Facebook. It's like, we're all just being really mean. We need to be nicer to each other. It's like, it's a little more complicated than that.
Yeah. Well, I can hear you because there are, you know, a chain link fence naturally has holes in it from the cage that I'm inside of.
Yeah.
But yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
We should be nice. You're right.
Yeah, yeah. And then also a lot of we need to be the Democrats need to be empathetic to the Republicans yeah. while
just
they're dealing with this loss.
Look at any compilation video of how the Republicans dealt with their yeah. victory in 2016.
Yeah, I don't have any empathy
we'll see
for you. I'm
how
sorry.
Bullshit that is.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's what's going on with that. WandaVision has a premiere date of January 15th, so we're going to get that WandaVision. We got to start phase four. Start it.
That's way further back than I thought, though. They've been promising it in 2020 for a really long time, so that's technically 2021, Disney.
That is.
What the hell?
Come on, Disney.
Come on, Disney.
First live-action Lilo and Stitch, and now this.
Thanks, Disney.
Thanks for doing all the content forever, everywhere.
Yeah, I know.
I don't even know how the Jim Henson Company works now.
I don't either.
They're not owned, like...
I don't think so.
...by Disney, but Disney does own the Muppets, though. So anyway, the point is that King Features, which is...
Okay.
King Features, it's a long story, but King Features Syndicate is like, you know, they own a bunch of comic strip characters like Popeye,
okay,
Beetle Bailey,
sure.
that sort of thing.
Yeah,
and so they are, you know, they are a studio that develops stuff. So they're working with the Jim Henson Company to do a animated Hagar the Horrible series.
Okay.
You know, the hilarious Hagar the Horrible.
I didn't think that anybody was like clamoring for this, but okay.
And it will be animated, but I was thinking it's Jim Henson, do puppets.
Seriously,
Hagar the Horrible is so
Henson involved?
He's so is this a word puppetic? You can
it
make a puppet
now.
Out of him, right?
Yeah, for sure.
I always thought it'd be a great idea. Farscape. One of the reasons Farscape is so great, here we go again, is because of the use of puppets, right?
Yes,
they used puppets. They did their best. It's like it was like a trial run for Dark Crystal, which it doesn't exist anymore. But,
I know.
So having puppets, right? And like. I always thought it would be a great idea to like do something like Hagar the Horrible and have him be in the real world, but he's a puppet.
But he's a puppet.
You know, and the other people are puppets.
Sure. Yeah. No, I think that totally works.
They're not going to do that.
I don't know.
But they are, but I've heard that they are going to use a type of animation that is, they're going to use like 3D animation, but not like, wow, reboot Tron or whatever.
Right.
Like they're going to use it. To make it animated, but it'll have a more sort of real feel. So it'll seem kind of like puppets.
Sure. Huh. Okay. All right. I'm at a loss for words because I don't understand why Henson is doing this if it's not puppets. But anyways.
Well, they can do kid-friendly stuff, although
wasn't
he just like, you know, a Viking, but like, you know. A middle-aged guy with like
from
a
I remember,
crabby wife. And
yeah.
This is Andy Cap with a sword.
Yeah, right. From what I remember, yes. So, anyways.
Well, that's that. Okay. Speaking of remaking old things, it looks like we're going to have a remake of Short Circuit with a Latinx jolt.
Okay.
Blame Deadline. I don't know why it's a Latinx jolt, but it'll be a Latinx themed version of Short
Circuit.
Okay,
why? They're just trying to be cute. All right.
So at what point do they modify Johnny Five so that he goes?
Oh, please don't.
I can't hit that note.
It's really high.
Wow, we found the range of or the reach of my
your
head
register,
voice.
Yeah.
The Cucaracha.
I know what you're doing.
Which is super racist, but that's what they'll do.
I really hope they don't. I really hope
they
don't.
They absolutely will.
Oh, my gosh.
You don't have... This is perfect. Speaking of remakes, remake this. Because you are aging like fine wine. But
I'll
you are...
I'll take that as
but
a
you
compliment.
Are aging.
Yeah.
And you don't remember You're Short right. Circuit at all. So this is perfect. Like, this is time. It's remake this. Don't remake something we all remember and love. Like, don't make a live-action Beauty and the Beast. We all remember Beauty and the Beast,
yeah,
and we love it still.
Right.
But Short Circuit is, like, old enough and so that like two generations have been bereft of Short Circuit. Now's the time to redo Short Circuit.
That's the little robot guy, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you don't need. Yeah, 25.
I saw something about that. Okay. Yeah, I hope he doesn't do any.
Although he has to be like nanites now or something like that. You have to upgrade it somehow. He gets into the internet, and so he's. The thing is that there was nothing particularly original about Johnny Five, and we have told that story over and over again. It's the Iron Giant, it's Axel, it's Bumblebee. They literally just did it in Bumblebee. Mm-hmm. But yeah, sure. Why not? Do it again.
Right.
And have Ali Sheedy, you know, show up as the mom or something like
sure.
that.
Sure. Right.
Get Fisher Stevens to put on the brown face again. Bring
Please
him out
don't.
Here.
That was don't do that.
That was the famous for Fisher Stevens, a white guy, just played a full on Indian guy, and it was like Slurpee, like it was like he was going full Slurpee.
I'm not a fan.
That's a movie.
I don't like that. No.
So I guess maybe the Latinx thing is them not only just trying to appeal to a demographic, a huge and growing demographic, but maybe just trying to do penance, like do racial penance. Somebody write racial penance down.
Yeah, write that down. That's good. I could see that. But I think maybe what you're saying too, like people don't really remember it. Like it's, I know the name Short Circuit, but I had to like climb through my cobweb brain library to try to figure out what that was. And the only thing I could come across was a picture of a little robot's head because I saw an article about them remaking this within the last week, but I didn't read it.
Right.
So, yeah.
And they made a Short Circuit too, and Ali Sheedy didn't want to come back. And oh, it was the Goot too. It was Steve Guttenberg. That's what it was. They made a two. Excuse me, Ali Sheedy and Steve Guttenberg didn't want to come back, so only Fisher Stevens came back as the Indian guy.
Great. That's what you want.
Two times the racism.
No.
Two times the fun.
Yeah, I think maybe
get a jolt from Short Circuit too.
I think maybe they are trying to do penance. They're like, how can we do this but do it better and more?
Let's go across the aisle and talk about how Sylvester Stallone is going to be in the Suicide Squad. This is just getting bigger and bigger.
Are they still filming?
Yeah, I guess so.
Okay. Wow. All right. I mean, Stallone was in Guardians, so I guess it kind of makes sense, right?
But I guess. No, because it's a completely different universe. But
I know, but Tim Gunn, right? Maybe he's like.
It's not Tim Gunn, although I would like to see.
No, not Tim Gunn. Oh my gosh.
Take on the Suicide Squad.
Why can't I think of his first name right
now? They all look so good. I want to kill myself. Suicide Squad. #.
Make it work.
Gunn. Yeah.
James Gunn.
How are we going to do this mission? Make it work.
Yeah, right.
I want to see Tim Gunn in charge of some superheroes. Be the Charlie to some angels, you know?
He'd be good at that.
Yeah.
He'd be show up in his sharp suits.
Okay, get out there.
And then he'd just tell him what's what.
You've got to assassinate Gianni Versace. Whoa, wait a minute. No, you have to go back in time and save Gianni Versace.
There you go. That's better. Better. Fixed it.
What? Who's I... What did I call David Cronenberg? I compared him. No, I said he was Karl Lagerfeld, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, and because I had two girls as my guest stars, they got that joke. So. Know your audience. Also, know your performers.
Yeah, right.
Know who you're working with.
But like, I was so like when you told me that was Cronenberg, I was like, what? Because like I never would have recognized him, and you were like, but he's supposed to be behind the camera, so why would you recognize him? But he has a very distinct look. So he's a like that guy seems like he's somebody.
He's
you
got
know what
the
I
look.
Mean?
Yeah. We're still across the aisle here. Let's talk about Dwayne Johnson, who of course is going to be playing Black Adam in the Shazam sequel, actually in his own movie as well. Well, he is working with I think his isn't Danny Garcia his wife?
Ooh, I don't know the answer to that.
It's good to have Google, isn't it?
It is. Google is your friend.
You don't want to do it all the time.
No, but sometimes you do want to pull it out of your back
pocket. It's his former wife. It's his first wife.
Ooh.
He's working with his first wife.
Juicy.
Who is a producer.
Okay.
Yeah, it is juicy. I don't know what that room is like. No working late there.
No.
You're home at 5:30.
Right on the dot.
Yeah, we're at 5:20 because 20 minutes anywhere is 20 minutes.
Right, right, right.
In the valley.
LA, right.
Yeah.
I learned that from Clueless, so.
Yeah, right. Well, I think it's a little different now. But anyway, they're rebooting Scorpion King for Universal.
Oh. Like the Mummy, the Scorpion King?
Yes. Now, so, you've seen the one Scorpion King, and we're, let me just speak for you. She'll have the veal. You were pleasantly surprised that it didn't totally suck.
Yeah.
And then they made like six more of them.
Which I haven't
it's
seen.
No, don't. It's a universe. I mean, the Rock's not in them. It's a Universal Soldier situation.
Yeah.
So I think this is like Universal Soldier. I think this is ready for a reboot.
So, question. I mean, maybe I missed the beginning of the story. Is he going to be in it? Or is he going to be
presumably, yes. He'll be okay. producing it. But
producing
yes.
it. But he's not necessarily.
And what the hell? Why not direct it too?
Just wear all the hats.
That's what he really wants to do.
Just have all hats like piled up.
Eight-time WWE World Champion, right. You know, box office draw. What he really wants to do is direct.
Right. What was the name of that? There's like that kid's book with like the man with many hats and there's like monkeys and stuff like that. And like he's like wearing a bunch of hats on his head. I can't remember what it's called. I just pictured that in my head with him wearing a lot of hats. Anyways, moving on.
Was his name Alex Kurtzman?
No.
Was it bad that he wore so many hats?
I don't think it was.
No, he owned it.
Yeah, okay, right. So Alex Kurtzman then.
One more DC story before we move on out of here. DC has promoted Mary Javens to editor-in-chief, a role that she co-held with Michelle R. Wells at the publisher. This is after, of course, the sort of shakeup and reorganization of DC, in which many, many hundreds of employees unfortunately lost their jobs, but they are changing things up. Now, we're going to talk real fast about a guy named Evan Scrier, who is a critic. He has said, there's a little bit of a flap recently about, he said that like DC Comics, as we know it, is dead.
As a publishing house.
And is going to die. And mm-hmm. I don't agree with him.
No.
And he doesn't, he's just flapping his gums. He doesn't have any insight.
He doesn't have any sources.
But I think I knew, when he said that, I was like, why would you say that? Why bother? But he talks a lot of shit. And a lot of people don't like him because he's mm-hmm. not a very nice person.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I know why now. This is probably in response to Marie being promoted to this thing. Wow. In her job as an editor, she oversaw publishing of DC Bombshells, sure. the DC Superhero Girl Squad or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. Like a lot of female-focused type stuff. And so he's a sexist, and that's what it is.
Yeah,
he doesn't like the future of the company, which is needing to do this sort of thing, not being able to just crisis over and over again and have Dr. Light rape every, you know, female character in the canon. It needs to grow and it needs to be different. This is a 100-year-old company.
Right.
And so this is one of the ways that they're doing it. And I think this is a great idea. This is a great promotion.
I agree with you.
But people like him don't like that. And so that's where that comes from. If you've seen that on the internet, that's what's behind it. There, we just told you. We just revealed right. the secret. Well, it's sexism.
Didn't he say something along the lines that SJWs ruined comics, which is a yeah. bunch of BS?
Yeah.
He also, in his claims that the DC was over, said that Jim Lee was leaving the company, which I do not think has been confirmed
this
by
is the
anybody.
Best and longest job that Jim Lee's ever had. I don't know why he would
And honestly, if he would leave, I would believe it if there was an announcement from DC itself.
Yeah. Eliminating, like, say what you will about, like, you know, Dan Didio or Bob Harris or whoever. I don't know why Jim Lee's a good face for the company.
Yes.
I don't think he needs, but they've eliminated, I mean, he doesn't really have like a create, oh, he's got a chief creative role, I guess. So he guides where it goes, but like, you know, eliminating everybody else and still having your figurehead there. Well, now your figurehead is kind of de facto in charge. I'm not sure that's a good idea, but that's why they're doing this. That's why they've promoted like Marie. And so that's
right.
what this is all about.
Right.
Jeff Johns, God. DC's, they need new leadership.
They need new blood.
They need that.
Yeah.
So that's where they're getting.
Yeah.
It's good.
It is good. And I'm glad that it's a female editor. I think that's really cool. Somebody who knows the comic publishing side of things pretty well.
Yeah. When you don't care about that kind of stuff,
yeah.
you get, you know, Johnny Depp leading your your biggest movie franchise.
Yeah.
Fantastic Beasts. They should do a thing with Dr. Dre and have...
No, don't do that.
Yeah, these are some Fantastic Beasts. Drop it. Well, speaking of dropping things, they've dropped Johnny Depp.
Yeah.
Who will get his entire salary.
Yeah, we talked about this a little bit last week, but I don't think we talked about him getting his entire salary. I guess that was something that was in his contract. Like
obviously.
He like worked like 1 or 2 days.
Yeah,
and it's like if he has like a pay or play or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Like that.
Yeah, I mean he's the biggest top movie star in the world. I mean he's gonna get paid either way. But they're thinking about replacing him with somebody who is not the biggest movie star in the world, but might be a good pick for the role. Mads Mikkelsen is in talks to replace Johnny Depp as Grimble Gringleblower, or whatever his name is.
It's Grinwald, isn't it? Yeah. I don't know.
Chris Gringle.
Yeah.
Camo Santa.
Yeah.
The kiddies, they were starting to see me.
Yeah.
Here's your review of Auntie Donna's Big Old House of Fun. Watch it. It's funny.
It's hilarious. I like the talking dishwasher. with the googly eyes. I think he is a good pick because he can be very
he can do
menacing
it
and oh yeah.
It's funny that like it's not quite a like a Peter Lorre situation where he had a totally varied career in Europe and in France. And then he comes to America and it's like, you're the bug-eyed bad guy.
Right.
Forever. That's all you're ever gonna
do. That's all we're going to cast you as.
It's not quite that big, but it's basically that. Like,
basically.
He, in Denmark, he was able to do anything and, was a big movie star. And then it's like, oh, you're a minor villain in a James Bond movie. Just play that now forever.
Yeah, I know.
So, yeah, he'll just be Cassilius. What was this? A completely forgettable Doctor Strange character.
Gosh, I don't remember.
I think it was Cassilius, yeah.
I'm just picturing him in the evil eye makeup that they all have later in the film.
Yeah, what was going on there?
I don't know.
We didn't want to bring that guy back, huh, for Doctor Strange 2.
Apparently not.
No Derrickson.
No.
Anyway, that's what happened there with that. Speaking of bringing people back, Arnold Schwarzenegger is he's been working on this spy show, and it is going forward at Netflix, because they'll do anything. I'm not saying it's a bad idea.
We know this.
I'm not saying it's a bad idea, but they're going to do it.
Is this the True Lies spy
show?
It
has
nothing to connection to that.
I know. It has nothing to do with that.
Oh, this is just a spy show with Arnold Schwarzenegger.
I could see it going that direction, though.
Right?
You know?
Because that, I could see that being
where'd
a show.
The talks fall through with Cameron, I guess.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, I got blue cats. Okay. Well, we're going to do this.
Oh, he is obsessed with those blue cats now. Anyways.
The day after Saturday morning, Avatar 2 release weekend.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be one of those turning points, won't it?
Yeah. Either he will decide to go full steam ahead, or maybe he'll have to think about that.
Well, I think he'll decide whether, they all go to video because he's shooting them all.
I see what you're
supposedly
saying.
Back to back to back, and there's four more of them on the way. So I don't think you can pull the plug on them unless because he can't just eat all that that cost and the expenditure and footage, right? Something will get done with it, but
probably.
Anyway,
just
thinking about it.
Kind of looking forward to seeing a movie in the movie theater again. I wonder when that will be.
Well,
even if it's
Avatar 2,
a
David Fincher movie, because David Fincher has signed a exclusive 4-year deal with Netflix.
Whoa!
The only place that you're going to see a David Fincher movie for the next 4 years is on Netflix. They don't care.
Wow.
They don't care. They have a ton of money.
Yeah, I know. I'm just kind of surprised that he decided to do that.
We don't know how many people are subscribers to Netflix.
No.
We don't know.
We don't.
But let's just say let's say half of America is subscribed to Netflix, and it's probably less than that.
Mm-hmm.
But let's say, how many Americans are there? Let's just say there's 300 million Americans, right? Mm-hmm. 150 million Americans have Netflix subscriptions.
Yeah.
Then we'll need to bring somebody else in because I don't know how to do this, but think about like the households and TVs or mobile phones in China. Mm-hmm. And what, like, are there a billion Chinese? Do you think five? No, how many of them are rural Chinese though? Anyway, let's say 200 million Chinese have it, right? So we take all these numbers, we do that with, you know, England, we do that with, you know, all the countries in the world.
Yeah.
And then we times it by 1499 or whatever.
Yeah, right.
How much money is that? And then times it by how many years Netflix has been around or projects to be around, you know. How do they, where's all the money coming from?
I don't know.
Anyway, David Fincher is doing a 4-year deal, of course, leading off with his new Netflix movie that's coming out at the end of the year, Mank. That'll be another turning point, depending on whether Mank is good or bad and received well or not received well. It'll be like, he gets to do whatever he wants for 4 years, or it's, you're going to, you know, third season of Mindhunter, you know, whatever right. it's going to be. So,
I mean, I do kind of hope they get Mindhunter in there somewhere.
We'll see. We'll see. Yeah, but he has spoken out about this, and he said that he didn't mention Mindhunter, unfortunately, but he did say that he wants to do this because he wants to, you know, people work with Netflix because Hollywood doesn't want them, maybe, or they can work with Netflix if they're David Fincher to do things that Hollywood would say, yeah. I mean, it's hard to say no to David Fincher, but but you'd say like, but what if it was this, you know, or what if we put Sarah Jessica Parker in it or something like that. He wants to experiment and do things he couldn't normally do, which I think is cool. But I can't believe I'm not going to see a David Fincher Hollywood movie for 4 years.
Yeah, that is weird to think about.
So, he also, in the same interview, shat on Joker.
Really?
Yes. He said that it is what we all, he just said there's no clothes. That emperor is stark naked. Why would you just remake King of Comedy and Taxi Driver and try to mash them together and then exploit the mentally ill, he said.
Wow.
And he said it was just like, it was nothing. It was a nothing burger.
Whoa.
Well, it didn't come from Netflix.
No.
You know, who was he mad at Warner Brothers, I guess.
Yeah, I don't
And then
know.
He talked about the cancel culture series that he's going to do.
Ooh.
What? So we got one up, one down. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away.
What is the... What?
He said he was talking about Woody Allen and Manhattan and what a good movie it is, where Woody Allen dates an 18-year-old. And he wants to do some kind of series that's, you know, focused around cancel culture.
Oh boy, that's heavy.
And his explanation was... He was just like riffing. They must have caught him, you know, on a contemplative day. But he was talking about like how if a tree falls in the forest, if you make a sincere apology and nobody believes you, then, you know, what's the apology? And it's like, yeah, but okay, no, Dave, I get it. Yeah, good idea. But these people don't make apologies. Johnny Depp has not made an apology. Woody Allen has not made an apology. Mm-hmm. Nobody makes apologies.
No.
And they're never heartfelt. They always come after the initial double down.
Oh, okay.
Oh,
yeah.
I'm pointing at Mikan Hanna in the studio.
There's a gun pointed at your
so
head.
So that she'll say this is
oh my God.
This is like a Russian broadcast, yeah. Right? So that she'll say double down, but she thinks I'm pointing a gun at her.
Sorry. So. What does that say about
They might
me?
Feel oh, David Fincher thinks that they feel like they have a gun pointed to their head. It's just like
I don't know.
You've put yourself in the position where you're going to defend wrongdoers.
Yeah, that's what I...
Is that what you wanted to
that
do?
That puts a bad taste in my mouth. I have a couple things to say. Okay, this is complicated, right? Like, okay, so...
I don't think so.
Well,
David Fincher thinks it is.
Well, let me just say this. Like Woody Allen... in his earlier years, maybe not so much as today, but was a very talented filmmaker and made some great films. However, his personal life...
I like the early stuff, but yeah.
But, however, his personal life, kind of a mess in some ways. And he ended up, like, marrying his adoptive daughter. That's weird and kind of gross.
Well, that's legal.
I know.
The abuse that he allegedly inflicted on all of his children, according to some people, would not be legal.
Yes. And he is a problematic figure. Mm-hmm. So it's like, do we want to keep... Yes, I can recognize that he has talent, but do we want to keep giving work to somebody like that, especially if they haven't made amends?
Well, you could say, you know, it's Hollywood. You know, Ethan would definitely say it's SJWs ruining everything.
Right.
But I would say I think your industry has a problem when a guy who ran a studio that, you know, earned scores and scores of Oscars and trillions of dollars, like literally sexually assaulted like every single actress that came through there.
A lot of women.
I would say it's not worth it, and that's really bad.
Yes.
And the thing is rotten to its core, and it's all got to go.
Yeah.
Before you can make something new.
I agree.
And so, yeah, if you're going to flee from the appearance of evil, having a guy who, you know, married his 18-year-old stepdaughter and apparently abused, like, his entire family, yeah, maybe that's not a guy that we want to champion, lionize, celebrate. Work with.
Right, exactly.
I mean, if you're Louis C.K. and you do what you do and you do make an apology, maybe there is a road back for you eventually.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think society kind of decides that, doesn't it? It's not really up to you. It's not up to me. It's up to like us collectively. But you know, that's the kind of borderline case. So I don't know. Maybe David Fincher could do that. Maybe he can make a series about, you know, about Sui Leake or something like that, and have a figure like that. But you know, when Louis C.K., right as he's getting quote unquote canceled, is making a film about a guy effing his daughter, or you know, or the suggestion of it, it's like, you guys,
that's a bad choice.
You're just setting us up here. This is coming right down the plate. I don't know. I have to swing at this. I don't know what to do.
Right.
Let's talk about Hillbilly Elegy and get it all that taste out of our mouths.
Yeah.
No, there's nothing to talk about. Hillbilly Elegy is out. Go see it, I guess.
You're not serious, are you?
I don't know. I want to, speaking of hate watching, I kind of want to hate watch it.
The production still that I saw on Netflix looks horrible.
It's just, it like, I was thinking about this. Glenn Close is a fantastic actress.
Yeah,
and
no
she
doubt.
Is unconventionally attractive, let's say. She's a handsome woman. But she looks, you know, Fatal Attraction. She looks great.
Yeah.
But a while ago, she was like, you know what? The Hollywood needs a female actress who is fantastic and is not, you know, obsessed with looking good. Like, Cate Blanchett is like, yeah, she played a crazy person who's talking to herself on a park bench, but she still looks fantastic. You know what I mean?
Yeah, the entire time.
And Glenn Close is like, screw it. I'm going to be, like, the ugly woman in Hollywood. Let's see how far I can take this. And she's taking it all the way. She's taking it all the way. But in that still, she's with Amy Adams,
mm-hmm.
who I think is following in the footsteps of Glenn Close in that I am willing to let you dirty me up, you know. I'm willing to look bad and also be not as good as Glenn Close, but a good actress and win awards and do that. And you go, what about Charlize Theron? Charlize Theron wore a rubber mask in one movie. She won an Oscar and the rest of her life has been a walking Dior perfume commercial.
No,
do you know what I mean?
You're right.
She's not an ugly performer, you know. So
I mean,
so I don't know. Something about me, like, I don't like Ron Howard. I like Glenn Close. I don't like a lot of her movies, and I don't care at all about Amy Adams, although, you know, Chan hasn't for life. but the fullness of this time, you know, the converging of all these powers, and also my obsession with Hollywood's obsession with redneck punk.
Right.
Makes me kind of want to watch this thing.
Oh my goodness. Well, maybe we'll be talking about it next week.
Maybe if I force you to watch it, we will.
Yeah.
Real quick, we'll just say that HBO Max's head has said that they are looking at a way to quote unquote save the Venture Brothers.
Really? That's intriguing.
Ready for some unbleep swears? They're never as funny. They're never as funny.
Okay.
So we'll see what happens with that. Also, I wanted to mention that Gunpowder and Sky's Dust, I don't know, I have no idea how this works. I think Gunpowder and Sky is an artist, not an artist collective, but they're a collection of artists mm-hmm. that serves as a producing company. Dust is their filmic wing. They did Prospect.
Oh, yes.
Which is getting a lot of traction now that Pedro Pascal is playing his character from Prospect in a Disney show.
Yeah.
Watch Prospect. It's on Netflix. Yeah. But they are developing an Island of Dr. Moreau TV series.
That's terrifying.
It is.
That is absolutely freaking
and
terrifying.
And it'll be written by Zach Stentz.
I know that name, but I can't place it.
X-Men First Class, Thor, Rim of the World, Terminator, Sarah Connor Chronicles.
Well, those are kind of hit or miss for me, so hopefully it'll be a hit.
The Sarah Connor Chronicles?
Sarah Connor Chronicles. No, I love Sarah Connor Chronicles. Never mind.
A hit and miss show. They're really obsessed with that chess computer for a long time.
I know.
Could not give up on that chess computer.
No. Okay, that could be good. Island of Dr. Monroe is a weird, creepy movie. And it's got a weird,
you can't judge creepy, it by the movie.
Like, backstory. Yeah, I know. It does. I know. But, like, so I think, and this is going to be on HBO Max, you said?
Yeah.
I think
No. We don't know where this is going to be. They're developing it. It'll be on Netflix.
I think there's a lot to potentially unpack there, so I think it would make a good series.
Is it relevant still? It was written almost 150 years ago.
I think you could make it relevant. I mean, it's not going to have a lot of technology, right?
They're obviously they're going to modernize it, right? We're not going to go back to old-timey days, are we?
I don't think so, but what I mean by that is a big part of the story is you're on this island in the middle of nowhere and you have no connection to anybody else and you want to get the hell off of it. So, sure. I mean, there's not going to be a lot of technology around for you to contact outsiders and that sort of thing.
Sat phone.
A what phone?
A sat phone.
What's that?
Satellite phone.
Oh, maybe. I don't know.
I mean, you can call people on an island.
Well, yeah, I know that.
You're worried about that. I'm thinking about like genetic manipulation. I'm thinking about like, you know,
racism, creating, and
you know,
creating
elevating
another...
a beast to a man, and then all the relevant metaphors.
Yes.
Like, I don't. So, confession, I haven't read it, but I assume that Wells was making a point about, it's about foreigners, right? It's about like respecting other cultures and. Or maybe not. It might be about, like...
Not respecting
other cultures. I'm going to give Wells the benefit of the doubt.
Uh-huh.
But now that we a priori, the last 4 years of our country, but let's just say generally a priori we accept the human rights of everybody.
Right.
Is it relevant still? Because now you're just making
a...
But now you're just making a story about giving animals sentience. And if the animals don't represent anything... then it's just like, it's just jerking off. Like stories have to have themes, right?
Yeah.
So can you do that theme still?
Yes, because there are a lot of... Because
people would read, just making my point. So, because people would read this in Wells's time and go, the animals are, I guess it is kind of a
because
metaphor.
It's animals,
but the animals are, we should respect people, you know, if they're different to us. Well, we get that now, so...
Do we?
Okay, all right. Hey, all right.
I don't think half
that's
of our country
a priori
does.
Means we accept it, but maybe you're right and I'm wrong about the a priori acceptance of people's rights.
If we go by the presidential
I just think
election.
It's a little juvenile. Like, our metaphors have to be, because we've been reading stories about this kind of stuff for hundreds of years now, so our metaphors have to be more complex.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I'm saying.
Because
I don't want to show... I want a show that does attack what you are saying it should. Not a show that's just like, oh, and now there's a pig with snake hands or something like
that.
Right.
I don't want it to just be like, oh, aren't they strange and other and weird and gooey and like... I don't want that either. but I think that there are still groups that are marginalized and are not... treated as equal human beings and do not have equal rights, and I think that could be a huge part of the story still.
So they're going to put animals and dog men in cages.
Maybe.
I kind of don't want to see that.
Well, I don't necessarily want to see that either. Maybe, hopefully, they'll be a little bit more creative with their storytelling.
Well, let's close it out our long, always so long ass news segment. But look, I look at it like this: we have interesting commentary on the news.
Mm-hmm.
And also, you know, we read everything, so you don't have to. You listen to 40 minutes of our news, you're set. You know everything that's going on.
You know what's going on. Yeah. Yep, right.
And you get racial penance. I was thinking about like racial penance, you know?
So oh, that gets pendants?
A little... No, not pennant, like a flag.
Oh, I thought that was a pendant.
No, a pendant is
a
necklace.
Oh.
You get orthography, too.
Okay, whatever.
You get it all, just enough trope.
Okay.
We want to say a fond farewell to Ken Spears, the co-creator of Scooby-Doo, who has passed away at the age of 82.
Oh, that's sad.
He, of course, working with his partner, Joe Ruby, created Scooby-Doo, Dino-Mutt, you know, Jabberjaw, a lot of dog-related stuff for Hanna-Barbera. The Barkleys.
Sure.
Yeah, all dog stuff. Gotta like dogs.
And that's okay. That's fine. You know, you pick something, you stick with it. There's nothing wrong with that. That's too bad. I'm sure there are a lot of people dressed up as Scooby-Doo for Halloween recently, too. And like,
well, we just watched those, movies.
We did not kill him, Cal. We didn't do it. It wasn't us.
I was just the other day, I was thinking about Thundar the Barbarian. Oh my God! When you're a person who is constantly reinventing themselves, mm-hmm. and your publisher is constantly reinventing you,
yeah.
where do you go?
The past.
What, do you have a time machine? I guess Marvel Universe. That's what we're going to discuss, and that is the question that is the obsession point of Black Widow Deadly Origin,
yes.
a 4-issue miniseries written by Paul Cornell. Friend of the show, I think we can call him friend
yes,
of the show.
Yes, yes, we've talked to him a couple of times.
Don't listen to this, Paul. Paul Cornell, and wow. illustrated by Tom Rainey, with Scott Hanna and Matt Milla on inks, and also the flashbacks are done by John Paul Leon.
Yes,
when the style changes in the book, that's what yes. you're looking at.
Yes,
and Dem Eddie Granoff covers dough, huh?
Uh huh.
Yeah, I don't know what Eddie Granoff is like. He did all the, so whenever you see that like real slick, you know, slightly mannequin-esque, but we'll talk about it, look of those, of that work, you know, it's clearly done, you know, in a computer, but it's just like, just lush and like, wow, this looks really
crisp.
Great.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's him. And it's like, wow, he should be in comics. Why would he be in comics? He basically redesigned, like, the look of Iron Man. He created the modern look of Iron Man.
Oh, okay.
He did it for the Warren Ellis series, Extremis, right?
Mm-hmm.
Similar thing. Didn't do the internal art, I don't think. Maybe okay. he did. I don't want to take away from him if he didn't. But did all the covers and that, like, that look of Iron Man, you know, the slit eyes, you know, the,
sure.
the carapace-type shell. And, you know, and then when they developed the films, they brought him on as a storyboard artist and
oh,
as
cool.
a character designer. And that's like done. I don't know why it's a barrier. It's a hard barrier to break, I think. But once you do, you're never coming back. So the Steve Scrooges of the world, the Eric Kennetts of the world, you know, once you like start doing storyboarding and designing, like you never come back to comics, I don't think, because the money is just too good. Right. You get
yeah.
way more money than you get just putting out panels for as a freelancer for Marvel or DC. That's what happened to Eddie Granoff.
Okay. Well,
in the mid-2000s or late-2000s, he did a bunch of, like, covers, you know, the Black Widow stuff, the Iron Man stuff, and other things, and then disappeared. And I don't know what he's doing now.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, I really like the cover of this collection. I think it's... I've seen it before. This is my first time reading it, but I've definitely seen the cover before, and I think it's really iconic.
Yeah,
looking,
and it's a quantum leap past, like the other variants. It's like, oh, Greg Land's gonna do one.
I know.
Blah. Why isn't a mummy sexually assaulting her?
Oh,
or is
no.
that Greg Horn?
I don't know.
They do it to themselves.
Yeah. Well.
Gregory, one of you should be Gregory.
You decide.
You guys work it out.
Yeah, right.
What
Greg
happens?
One, Greg
well,
two.
Actually, let's talk about what's the story so far. So we did the Richard Morgan ones. We did the Black Widow, Itsy Bitsy Spider, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
We did all that. What's happened so far?
What hasn't happened so far?
I'll tell you what. You do this. I'll do what's happened so far. So here's what's happened so far.
Okay.
Natasha Romanoff is an Avenger and also a spy, and she works for S.H.I.E.L.D., and she's
yep.
Got a shift at Wendy's on Wednesday. She's they tried to replace her. The Russian, and it's so funny that this is all KGB stuff, but which hasn't existed for like 30 years now. But
know.
Anyway, the Russians have a new Black Widow, and that means they got to get rid of the old Black Widow. And so they send Yelena Belova out to kill her. she's not going to kill her. That's not going to happen.
No.
But anyway, it doesn't matter. And then Black Widow starts to learn about herself and her past, and she realizes that she's been manipulated, that she was never a Russian ballerina like she thought, and her husband never died.
Alexei.
Yeah, the Red Guardian. And these are all memory implants, and so she's kind of like Wolverine now. She doesn't really know what her past is.
Yeah.
And then we go through a couple of just brutal, rough Richard K. Morgan miniseries where she learns about the manipulation that's going on by elements of both the American and the Russian, new Russian government in still running the Red Room, but also the Americans are in bed with arms dealers and with pharmaceutical companies and running their own sort of new 21st century Cold War of control and oppression, and fighting against that and slitting a lot of throats ear to ear and bathing in the blood. And so, yeah. And so she learns that, yeah, none of that was true. She's kind of been in the wind this whole time, and a lot of blanks are left. Mm-hmm. And Paul Cornell is here to fill those blanks.
Yes.
Fill them up.
Yeah. Right. So this tells a lot of her backstory, like the blanks and the flashbacks that we see. We learn that as a baby, she was saved and rescued by this soldier named Ivan, who is basically her guardian protector. She sees him like a father figure for a large majority of her life.
I can't remember when Ivan was introduced, but it was a while ago. Ivan has been...
Oh, like in the comics?
Yeah.
Yeah, I actually read, like, in the back of this, there was a history of Black Widow's appearances. It's like
3 pages long.
I know, but I read it, and he was introduced pretty early on.
Yeah. It was only in the late 70s or something like that.
Yeah, right.
As her sort of sidekick chauffeur.
Right. So he's very important in her backstory. And very early on in this series, he calls her and tells her that Ice Pick, like, has been initiated. And then he gets killed. And she's like, well, what does this mean? What is Ice Pick? And like, he got, like, this, like, they both got a... It's not like the super soldier serum that Captain America got, but it's similar. And they both got that at some point in their past. It's
the super soldat
serum. Right. It's like a Russian version of it.
Yeah.
So they both heal faster and will live a really long life. So she's trying to figure out what it is, and she's...
Yeah, I like how it's like Richard K. Morgan spent like 12 issues like... breaking down. She was never a ballerina. You know, we don't know her past. You know, she could be any age. And then Paul Cornell comes in. Nope, she's 90 years old. Thanks, Paul. All right.
I just want to make that perfectly clear.
Oh, we're doing this now.
Yeah, great. And so we see a bunch of different elements from her past as she's trying to unravel this mystery of what Ice Pick is.
They would have loved to have just made her like Anastasia's sister, right?
I mean, they kind of,
but to have her
they
be
said a, she's like related to the czars, but yeah.
Yeah. But to have her be you know, in her early 20s when World War II rolls around, then she had to be born in like 1928. Like that's just how it's gonna work.
Right.
But I bet they would have loved to have
Oh,
had,
they
like,
would have absolutely loved yeah, that. Absolutely.
Bouncing on Rasputin's knee or whatever. But instead she is a Romanov. I guess she would have been on that Amazon series, probably. They're just,
yeah, right. Exactly.
Really mad that her latte is not. Well, man, let's watch that.
Let's hate watch that. Yeah.
I discovered hate watching.
Yeah.
Anyway, continue. Right. Sorry.
So she, through her searching through the clues and everything, she finds out that she was somehow, she got these nanites.
You're jumping right to the end.
Well, I want to just give a brief overview and we can fill in stuff. Oh, okay. Basically, they effectively make her, like, as she says, like a Black Widow spider, in that anybody that she touched gets these nanites and people around them who touch them get the signal to kill them.
Mm-hmm.
And kill her.
Yeah.
So she is trying to get, so she has to find all of her former lovers from the past. And she creates an antibody and tries to prevent anybody from being killed, but she unfortunately is not super lucky. Some people have died already. She finds out that the person behind all of this was Ivan, even though he's supposedly dead. He's not really dead. And so she has to come to terms with all of that.
Yep. Paul Cornell made Ivan a bad guy.
Yep.
The bad guy.
Yep.
Although it doesn't matter. Why immediately kill him? Why not have him be a supervillain going forward? Why not have him be a nemesis of Black Widow?
Good point. She needs like an actual like... nemesis.
I don't think she needs one, but you know, why not? Why not have him stick around? She immediately kills him.
She does immediately kill him.
Like, and it's, I mean, we expect this, but it's like child's play. Like, she's just completely, and suppose that somehow he gathered all of the world's unidentified or undocumented nuclear missiles.
Yeah.
Built a Russian helicarrier.
Yeah.
Space carrier in orbit. And got a bunch of Crimson Dynamos, you know, like, to work for him.
Yeah.
And then she just, like, takes him out like that.
I know.
Did you maybe plan for 6 issues, Paul? And they said, no, it's going to be 4.
I wish this was longer. I feel like this should have been longer.
I don't. I did not like this.
Oh, okay.
And we're going to talk about, or I'm going to talk about why I didn't like it. But okay. I was thinking before we get into that and make Paul cry. Would this exist without the movies? This was, from what I understand, this was essentially commissioned to fit her back into, you know, after the Richard K. Morgan kind of ripped her out of continuity,
to put
her back into continuity. And it was basically commissioned because of the character's appearance in Iron Man 2.
I don't think it would exist.
When is it that there's a Louboutin shoe? And it's hovering in midair.
Mm-hmm.
When is it gonna drop?
What are you talking about?
Is Black Widow 2021,
uh-huh.
2022, 2023.
Wow.
Going to finally drop the shoe on the fact that Natasha is not the, you know, 34-year-old woman that she appears to be.
That would be cool.
Around forever. It was smart. Winter Soldier, every day they should get up and bow at their Ed Brubaker shrine, a Santeria shrine, for giving them Winter Soldier.
Because
mm-hmm. Bucky was nothing. And Ed Brubaker just went, oh, you've got this character. Right. And I know it's a joke that, you know, dead characters come back in comics.
Yeah, sure.
But if we're going to do that anyway, take this character, do something with this, you know, makes him like this dark reflection of Captain America. And
absolutely.
That, not only did they add a great new character to the roster, but also they like reopened all those years. Mm-hmm. Every once in a while you tell a flashback where, you know, Cap's doing something or whatever. But Cap always leaves the stage in 1946. He's gone. You know, he's out of it.
Right.
And so what do? We could have a story where Logan is, you know, killing communists or something in the 50s. Having Bucky as like an anti-hero or a KGB agent opens up the 50s, the 60s, maybe the 70s, give him some sideburns. It opens up that whole field to play in now, whereas before it was just the interregnum until Cap woke up in the Avengers submarine or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you've got that, why not then inject Tasha into that? And she can do that too. And that's what this does. That's right. the one brilliant thing of this. But they do it in the films. You got, there's a lot of numbers left
for
phases, right? You have to do something. What about a cool 60s spy movie with Scarlett Johansson?
Yeah, I mean, but like the only issue I have with that is I think that if you did that, I think that Bucky would still have to be a bad guy in that.
Right, but yeah, but Winter Soldier versus Black Widow in the
60s. I'd love that. That would be so cool.
Let's do it. But they have to drop the shoe, the high-heeled shoe.
I know.
So I just say high heels because the Joss Whedon scene. Does Joss Whedon have a foot thing? I don't watch enough of his shows.
I don't know.
Anyway, she has the shoes in the first scene we see her in The Avengers.
Yeah.
Movie. Okay, so that was my question. I mean, somebody would have wrote this eventually, but like without them commissioning this, what would her new history have been? Do you know what I mean? It could have gone a lot of ways, but it went this way.
Yeah, right. It could have.
I don't like Tom Rainey's art.
The main artist of the
book? I don't feel
book.
Like this as well. I mean...
No, I don't really like it either.
It's drawn to like a meticulous degree.
Yeah.
But when you think about Billson Cavitch breakdowns in the other two series...
Mm-hmm.
And the Phillips just doing a pass over them, you know, the finishes. Sure, they're not necessarily photorealistic, but what's the point of realism if you can't communicate emotion?
I agree with you.
You know, yeah. That's why the Sienkiewicz can be incredibly meticulous in how he subjectively paints a scene.
Absolutely.
And Tom Rainey's like, I'm going to draw the little hairs or whatever. But it's like, but when she's like throwing a kick and it looks like she's just a statue standing there, there's no sense of motion or action or anything like that. And that's like, all she does is kick. So we're going to need that. And you don't have that at all. It's just static. Did not enjoy that part of it.
I really liked the art in the flashbacks.
That was pretty good.
I really enjoyed that. I think it was a good choice to have bring on a different artist, a different style for the flashbacks, and I really enjoyed him depicting her throughout the years and her different looks in her. Her different interactions with different characters. Honestly, I think the flashbacks were my favorite part of this book.
Yeah.
So yeah, I really liked that. And that was a little bit more stylized. Maybe the colors weren't as bright on purpose.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Also just going back real quick to, you know, its position or the purpose of this series, you know, and how it orients her, in a new way in the Marvel Universe, it looks like the movie is just going to be this, right? There's no Ivan, obviously.
Well, but I had a question.
Alexei is in it. Yeah. There's you know, you got Yelena Belova, obviously, but there's like 26 other Black Widows that are going to come and try to kill them. The white suit.
I thought about the white suit too.
You know, there's no Ivan. We can pick and choose what we want. But if they're going to basically just turn this into the film, she's got to be 90 years old, right?
I would think so. But I have.
I'm obsessed with this.
Well, that's fine.
Come on. You don't want Samuel Jackson sending Scarlett Johansson to kill Sebastian Stan in the 60s? You're insane.
Well, of course I want that. Right. And Nick Fury has the serum too. And they haven't dropped that either.
No, he's got the Infinity Formula.
Okay. Well, it's similar.
It is really similar.
It's more or less the same thing. It just has a different name.
Yeah.
I had a question about Alexei. So
it's just that Nick Fury can't, you know, bench press a truck or whatever. But
no, yeah. Right. So in the comics, Alexei is her former husband whose death they faked, and he was the Red Guardian as well.
Yes.
In the film, is he also going to be her ex-husband?
I don't know. He's played by
Hopper from Stranger Things.
There's an age mismatch. You could just say that, you know, we could do a... I mean, they've got the market cornered on Nick Fury facing people, right? So we could just Nick Fury face Kurt Russell face Stranger Things so mm-hmm. that he's, like, young. And then, you know, she's got the serum. He doesn't, so she doesn't age.
Oh, I see.
You know, there's that scene where it's like, back together again, family. You know, they sit down.
Yeah, yeah. But she seems kind of, like, really annoyed with him in that scene. But it could have just been how they cut it together for the trailer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, all right. I guess we'll have to wait and see on that. Ivan is really gross.
Okay, all right. So let's yes, thank you for opening that door. Let's just get right down to it.
This
is a story
hate
about
this.
An incel.
Yes.
Who tries to ruin a woman's life because she won't sleep with him.
Yes.
And Paul, I guess I get what you're trying to do, but basically, like, he gives a girl worms to ex-girlfriends.
Yeah, right.
He gives her, like, robo cooties. He gives her an STD, basically. And then she has to go through and visit all the dudes that she's boned. And why why is this
it's
happening?
It's weird and it's gross.
Why
and,
is this happening?
I want to know that too. And like he's raised her since a baby and he wants to have sex with her. You are weird gross.
In his 10-foot tall robot body that has a metal mustache. And
well,
can,
and he
can
said
bone.
He said it's fully functional.
Yeah.
And I'm like, ew, 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 ew. I threw up in my mouth.
I hate,
gross.
I hate to jump to the end like you do, but maybe I'm getting it from you. But I think what we have here is we have a character who can't just be, I'll get that Tony Stark next time. Like, she's of a hero character. She's fully realized. And in the 21st century, in a post-feminist world, she has to be written from the viewpoint of a woman, and specifically, they've decided to have her be a character that reacts to a sexist depiction. You know, she reacts mm-hmm. to the male gaze. She reacts it because it works. Because in her job as a spy, she plays on that to manipulate people. Even though she can just blow their chests out. You know, why not just do that? You know, give her a gun and she can just be the Punisher.
Yeah,
I'm not saying that's bad. I'm just saying we've continued to characterize her as the seductress, you know.
The femme fatale.
The femme fatale, exactly.
Yeah, she is.
So let's get women writing her.
I agree with you.
Because
100%.
Richard K. Morgan wants to, you know, with his porny brain, like he wants to like do it, but he's doing it from a man's perspective. Paul Cornell is trying to tell a story about a woman who is being preyed upon by a man who wants her and doesn't deserve her, and period, you know, because she doesn't want him.
Mm-hmm.
But he's doing it from like a man's perspective, and it does not work. It's not working. It doesn't work. We've read a lot of these issues now. It doesn't work.
It does not work.
No, and they keep trying to do it, and I guess brownie points. It's admirable that you want to do it, but it is not working out. Please stop it.
Yeah, please stop it. I'm also not, I guess, along similar lines.
Did you think it looked like she was grabbing Daredevil's dick when she when she's giving him the thing? There's like this long vertical panel. Where she's,
I didn't get that, but okay.
She's like touching his face and her hand's glowing because she's, you know, doing the nanites or whatever.
Thing,
but her other hand is like down here and it looks like she's going horn head.
Wow.
Sorry, go ahead.
I'm not a huge fan of it being a thing where it's like
nanite
she
cooties.
Has nanite cootie STD.
And they even point
that
out.
And that, like, I know they do. And they're like, oh, you're gross, dude. But,
take that lampshade off.
Yeah, right. But, and then, like, so then she has to revisit all of her ex-lovers. And it's like, I feel like without, like, judging her for having a lot of lovers, it's like judging her for having a lot of lovers.
Yeah.
So I don't like that.
He cyber slut shames her.
Yeah. I'm not a fan of that. Why does this have to be a huge plot in a Black Widow story? And like,
also, look, I love Black Widow, but there's no way Black Widow just bitch slaps Mockingbird like that. That just doesn't. Come on.
Yeah.
You jobbed Mockingbird.
Well, yeah. I have something else to say about that too. Like, I felt like, her kissing. So she...
Exploitative?
So it was totally exploitative how she kisses Mockingbird. It's like, ooh, look, two girls kissing.
Yep.
And then she even like is like, oh, I guess I didn't have to do that. I could have just touched her face. I mean, I like that she didn't like kiss all of her ex-lovers.
But then she says, I'm just playing to the stereotype, you know?
And it's like, don't do that.
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
See the thing
ring,
and then
ring.
Don't do
hey,
that.
Paul, don't do that.
Yeah. And then like
although,
at the end... She like kisses Ivan.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, what? Why?
Because he kissed her.
I know, but he's
to introduce the STD
the nanites,
in the first place.
I know, but
the CTD, the cyber.
But
he is
a gross person, and then you're also kind of giving him a little bit of what he wants.
Trying to give that metal mustache a test drive.
Ugh.
Yeah, it's terrible. I did see that in the scene. Something else that I saw in the scene is something that I haven't thought about for a while, but I was like, oh yeah, that is a problem. So these two women are catfighting. I don't know how else to say it.
No, that's what it is.
And while she's like fighting with Bobby, she says like, shut up, Clint. I'm going to deal with this. And I was reminded why you don't name somebody Clint in a comic book, because C-L-I-N-T, when lettered, can easily look like C-U-N-T.
Oh, my gosh.
which, when I read it really fast, that's the first, you know,
that's what you read.
I was like, whoa. Oh, okay. All right.
No, it's just his name.
This isn't Richard K. Morgan here. Yeah, yeah.
Oh my gosh, that's
there was,
funny.
There was a printing mistake a while back, like in the 90s, in an X-Men comic, and I can't remember. I did a search for it recently, and I found somebody talking about it on a really obscure blog, so I think it's already disappearing from memory, but like Wolverine is talking about his foe, Sabretooth, and he's talking about how he's a vicious killer, you know, and somehow it got misprinted, so it was like a vicious K-I-K-E. So it's a derogatory term for Jewish people.
Oh, I should know that, but I don't.
You should.
Yeah.
You K-I, no.
Okay. Hey!
Killer. So
how did it get printed as that?
Well, how did it not get checked? That's the thing. You can misprint things. I think the person lost their job, but yeah. So I remember just my friend, like Andy, like we were reading the comic, and he's like, hey, did you know that Logan is an anti-Semite? I'm like, what are you talking about? And he's like...
Oh my gosh. Yeah, that's terrible.
I didn't know Sabretooth was a Jew.
I agree with you. I think that we need to get more female writers writing Black Widow.
Yeah, like, this is not owning it.
No. And this is another thing too, even with like
and she's
her,
dirty. They
yeah,
say that like
yes,
like
I hate
times.
That.
Yeah.
And I get that like yeah, part of her image is she's a spy and she'll do whatever she needs to do to get the job done. And then part of that is using her feminine wiles to seduce people. And sometimes she ends up in relationships with them. But I think we could do that in a better way. Mm. And then I know that there's also like, yeah, they're likening her to a Black Widow spider who, you know, kills her mate after, you know, intercourse. But it's just,
is that
just
what they do?
I think that's what they do, isn't it? Or do they just kill the male spiders? I thought they had...
I guess they can't call her. What's going on with Mantis?
Ooh, I don't...
She's like, oh, that was great.
Yeah,
good. Drax.
Right.
Time to eat your head.
Yeah, I know, right? Wow. But it's just, it's tired. And I don't like it. And I also want to see... I was thinking about this. I want to see Black Widow work with more female superheroes and more female characters, period. Not just Yelena Belova. You're making a face at me. But
well, you get Marvel Divas.
I don't know. But like
it's Photon and Hellcat, and they're hitting each other with pillows.
I don't know. Have her like team up with like Elektra or something like that.
There's a miniseries that is sort of fits. We've already passed it, I think, in continuity.
Okay.
But as soon as Bobby came back, they did a miniseries
sure.
called
"Do Something with Mockingbird,"
Widowmaker, where it was Black Widow and Mockingbird are going to save Hawkeye, but he doesn't really need save. He's like in deep cover, and so it's like a 4-issue spy series. Which I thought it's not Black Widow, so we passed it up by.
Right.
We could loop back to it, I guess. It's pretty good.
Actually. Oh, okay. Well, maybe we should loop back to it because I think that would be interesting. Because as I was reading it, it was like, this does not pass the Bechdel test,
so
like at all.
No. So it's 2020.
Like at all. Yeah.
We've got a female writer on Black Widow. Mm-hmm. You're the editor-in-chief. She comes to you and says, I want to do a story about Comrade Friend Zone.
Comrade Friend Zone?
And it's a story about, you know, it's Ivan. I'm going to make him bad. It turns out that he's wanted Natasha all these years. And it's going to be appointed. The story is going to have a sort of appointed, you know, theme and, like, metaphor about a guy. Because it's like, this is revenge porn, basically, right? Ivan does revenge porn on Natasha Romanoff, right?
Yeah.
Is it okay? Do you greenlight the story? Because I think it's relevant. Like, everything we're talking about, it seems like it's relevant. But we don't want, like, a guy to be writing it and having women kiss each other and tease somebody about being curious or whatever.
I think that you could... The basic idea of the story maybe isn't bad, but it's just the way that it's executed. And I don't like that Ivan is the one who raised her, and yet he does revenge porn on her, and he wants to be with her. It's gross and it's weird. I'm not a fan of that, but I don't know. I think you could tell.
And he says, like, so we never resolve the real problem. Like, she never really... Because her problem is, you know, we see that she is confused. I mean, she's been, you know, brainwashed and programmed by the Red Room, but she's already has an identity problem.
Yeah.
And then he tries to manipulate her with that. Like, he basically says flat out, like, you know, you've betrayed all these regimes, you flip back and forth, you do this. Your only continuing belief is that I don't get to F you, basically.
Right,
like,
he literally
says that, which is like... We're not going to miss him when she blows his brain out of his chest.
Well,
but,
and I think they were making sure.
But they
that.
Never resolve that. She just leaves then, and it's not. She doesn't own it. She doesn't take it back. She does say essentially, "What I do is I side with people who have mercy, you know, and people who are. I side with good guys and I side with winners." But that's not much of a personal philosophy. It's not very complicated.
I'm just thinking about this, and I guess another issue that I have. Is, yeah, this guy raised her, and yeah, she has, you know, she thinks of him as family, and she has affection towards him. But he keeps pushing having sex with her, and she is clearly not interested. So why?
Yeah, but at this point, he's already faked his death. And
I know, later on in the story, but we see all these flashbacks where she continues to see him. Why does she continue to see him? Why doesn't she just, like, cut him out of her life and say,
this is a huge,
I can't be with around you anymore
this is
because
a huge
you're toxic.
Retcon. He was never like that. He was a father figure to her all through his existence previous to this.
Right.
Paul Cornell made Ivan Petrovich a creepy weirdo.
I'm not happy about that. I'm not. Okay.
I did like that they've got, you know, I think it just fits. It's the character, you know, we've already talked about. Yeah, it's unfortunate that the character who is the archetype of the femme fatale seducer also it's a really interesting character about a character whose allegiances are confused, you know?
Yeah.
And in the comics, you know, she joins the registration side of the Civil War.
Right.
Because she feels like, you know, it's important to... This is something I really love about, like, the MCU's interpretation of these characters, is that they take, you know, 60 years of story and they you know, boil it down to the essence of the story. And I think that they, in a movie packed with superheroes and storylines, they really... encapsulated that storyline for Natasha really well in the Civil War movie.
I think so too.
The idea that, you know, she thought that it was important that they did this because, you know, it's, but then she immediately questions her allegiance. It's like, how many imperialist regimes am I going to follow here? And
right.
then she flip-flops, and they kind of set that up in this because as they're sort of retelling her origin of her, you know, trying to seduce Tony Stark, then later on, like, she talks to Cap and he's like, he says what I said, like, why would you do this? Why are you pledging yourself to these guys? You know, we should be about freedom. But she's like, yeah, but even if this is the wrong side, I'm in. Like, I'll be next to Tony so I can betray him when the time is right. Like, it's, I think it's sad that she only sees herself as a piece in a game, you know? And the best Black Widow stories explore that. This one is just about pushing your creepy stalker off a roof or something.
I know, right? So, yeah. So a couple of things. Like, I feel like just reading about Black Widow's history throughout the comics, I mean, I know there's only so much you can fit in these flashbacks, especially if it's only four issues.
They did the champions. I mean, they did.
They got a lot of the highlights, but I kind of wish that Logan had showed up more. Wolverine.
You're in for a treat.
Oh.
There's an X-Men Claremont era story that's a flashback. It's back in World War II. And so it's vintage Cap, and then it's pre-Wolverine Logan. And they are doing Nazis are trying to kidnap Natasha for some reason. And she's a girl. Yeah. She's like a 10-year-old girl, little girl.
Sure.
But anyway.
That's cool. I'd like to see a movie with that, too.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Hurry up and cast Wolverine, guys.
Yeah,
right? Daylight's burning here.
Yeah,
come on.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But one of my other favorite pairings, I really like, and I know I've read some comics with them together, but I really like Widow and Daredevil as both a couple and as a superhero team. I just think
there's a whole era of Daredevil you can read.
I know. I just think it's interesting to see them together because they're so different in a lot of ways.
I'm trying to think of if there's been a longer reign of exes in comics.
Hmm.
Maybe Superman and Lana Lang.
Yeah, right.
But otherwise, like, they've been, like, a former couple much longer than they were ever actually were a couple.
Yeah, but then they actually work together continuity. A lot. Yeah, right.
So it's like every time they get together, it's always like, oh, it's the old ball and chain. It's like, well, look at you.
Right, and they're often showing up in each other's stories.
Well.
What do we have
It's not American
here?
Gods. No. But, yeah.
Well, I just love it because, like, Natasha will do essentially whatever needs to be get done for whatever her mission happens to be or whoever's allegiance she has. And then you have Daredevil, who is all about justice and has this strong moral, ethical background and core. Yeah. And it's fungible, but that's there. You know what I mean? I think it's interesting because they're very different, but I think that they're kind of alike in some ways.
Yeah.
Too.
I don't love Kevin Smith, but he made a good use out of that in his Guardian Devil miniseries when he did Daredevil.
Okay.
And, like, Daredevil finds this baby that is supposedly, like, the Antichrist or something like that. So he's got to take care of it's a long story, but he's got to take care of this baby. And the first thing he thinks of is he goes to, like, Nat's apartment. And he's like, hey, can you take care of this baby? And he's like, what? I was an Avenger.
How does she know how to take care of a baby?
I'm not going to take care of your baby. What is this?
Yeah,
what is this shit?
Right. I'm not your babysitter.
She still does it, though.
Of course she does.
I think that maybe Kevin Smith forgot that she ran the Avengers. She wasn't just an Avenger, but, you know, whatever.
Right. Right.
Put some respect on that woman's name. Is that it? That's it for me.
I think so. What else?
I also don't think... Literally, he was like a Bolshevik, right? Like, literally fighting the imperialists, and then at the end of his life, literally becomes an imperialist. Like, puts the eagle on his helicarrier over
being revenge porn.
You know what I mean? Like, all over that.
They also
I didn't feel that was totally motivated.
They also mentioned that he's like a millionaire or a billionaire, so that's why he was able to afford to do all of this. I don't remember that being mentioned at all previously, or is that just part of his canon and I just didn't know that?
I don't think so.
Okay. I felt like that was just kind of dropped
in. He's doing all these deals in the background.
Okay.
I guess.
Yeah, I don't know.
I love it when they just invent a supervillain, like, for one issue, and suddenly it's like, huh. Like, it's one thing if you do, it's dangerous to do that. It's one thing if you do, say, The Court of Owls, right? Like, I know that we've rewound, DC continuity, we rewound it a little bit, so Batman isn't, like, as old as he was before the New 52.
Yeah.
But, like, he knows Gotham City in and out. No one can hide from him in Gotham City, right?
Yes.
Except... For hundreds of years, Secret Society has been hiding in Gotham City. So you go, okay, but if you play it through, you not only have a really dangerous enemy, but you've got a new set of antagonists for your entire universe.
Mm-hmm.
Where they went too far was having his brother, like, be the main an owl or whatever.
Yeah, it's a little too.
And I guess we don't know if it was really his brother or not. But,
yeah, right.
But, you know,
a little bit of fungibility. Little,
that was pushing it a little too far. But he fights lions, though. So that's I'm always talking about Batman fighting lions. I'm done. You're done. I guess read this if not to put some money in Paul Cornell's pocket, but also just to prepare yourself
for the film,
for the upcoming film, because they will definitely be using. Pretty much the whole Buffalo, I think. Mark my words.
Do you think Ivan will be in it?
I think that they will. I don't think they'll do the supervillain Ivan, but I think that if we see Natasha as a young girl, if we're really going to dig into her history, we'll see an Ivan-like figure, I think.
Sure.
A guy that rescues her from...
from a burning building?
So I was talking to... Yeah.
It's not funny, but...
She's like, have this baby.
I know, right?
Yeah.
Oh, this plot device is dead.
Don't know anything about her. Yeah. Kill that plot device, quick. I was talking to... Who was it? Was it Jason? I was talking to somebody who works in comics, and we were talking about how they're going to do this. Because think about 50 years from now.
Mm-hmm.
Superman's not going anywhere.
No.
Batman's not going anywhere.
Mm-mm.
Neither is Captain America, all those guys. But how do you do Captain America when it's been 100 years since World War II? How do you do it when it's been 200 years since World War II? All these characters are going to have to change eventually. We're 20 years into the new millennium, and we've got characters like Black Widow, who's, or Tony Stark getting hurt in Vietnam, like whose stories are intimately tied to the 20th century.
Yeah.
So can we update those characters? Well, we can, obviously.
Yes.
But
short answer,
can we do it in a way that they still work and they don't have to be fundamentally changed? Or will these characters disappear and we'll have new characters? I don't know.
I don't know either.
But we have definitely reached the point where even to do a Black Widow movie, I don't know how you're going to pull it off. Like, if Black Widow, if Scarlett Johansson's Black Widow is, let's say, 30.
Mm-hmm.
I said 35 before or 34 or whatever. That still doesn't get you inside of 1991 when the Soviet Union fell.
Like, no.
You are not a Soviet Russian. And that's your entire character.
That's true.
So if you reinvent her to be like a new Soviet, you know, not KGB, whatever it is now, fine. FSB, whatever, fine. Or you drop the shoe and you can play forever.
Well, that's true.
Right?
Yeah.
Just
I think
make
that
her
that's,
an immortal and you can do whatever you want. You don't have to change anything. You changed one little thing. That's my viewpoint.
That's true. And I mean, Cap was, he had the serum, so he can live for a really long time. Another thing you could do.
He doesn't
do,
have to live. He was frozen. He just gets frozen longer.
And right, right, right. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
So yeah, or like you could say that like Natasha, okay, so the Soviet Union fell early in the 90s. You could have her be a part of something that's like a faction that somehow still preserves.
Oh, you're inventing
Soviet
a
Union.
Russian Hydra.
Yeah, sure.
Oh,
like the
that's genius. We are gonna cut this out. We have to, right? We could do something with this.
And it's secret and has survived there within Mother Russia for years.
Yeah, a KGB fifth column that is still around. Ooh, I like that.
So there you go.
Or is a fourth column?
I don't know.
The fourth estate is the press, right?
Gosh, I don't know the answer to any of these questions.
The press is the fourth estate.
Okay.
And a fifth column is, okay, no, that's what it is.
Okay.
I was getting this mixed up.
Okay. I have no idea.
The three estates, right? There's the hoop-a-doop and the doop-a-doop and the boop-a-doop. But the press is the fourth estate of the government. They're the thing that keeps the government accountable.
Okay. All right. Is that just in Russia or is that?
No, that's in like revolutionary France, but it's been adopted for everywhere else.
Okay.
And then a fifth column is a secret, like a sleeper cell, like a.
Okay.
I don't know why it's a fifth column. I think it means like extra, right? Because there's four columns, but this is a fifth column.
Right, right, right.
And so that's like a military force that's embedded within somewhere.
Yeah.
Ready to strike.
Yes.
God, that's a great idea.
I like it.
I really like that. And they're like, but their weakness is genes. They're like, we are ready to bring back the Levi's. Oh my God, get them quick. All right, that's it. Wow. Well, we did it again.
Yeah.
I don't want to look at how long it is. It's long.
My boy.
Not as long as we usually go, but hopefully you got something out of that. I like the fact that we just didn't. There's so much story and stuff to talk about and the Richard K. Morgan stuff, and this is just like, I don't like that this is like they're behind the incel curtain or whatever. You know what
right.
I mean? Like, it's like, come on. Like, let's talk about the, thank God. We talk about those locus points. I've been talking about them all episode. This was a real turning point. And yes, this miniseries didn't turn out okay, but her showing up in the films and them recommitting to like getting to sprucing up the character and doing what we're talking about, like renewing her background,
mm-hmm.
meant that she, because Black Widow in the 80s died a horrible death. And thank God, you know, she was just in the beltless costume with the short hair. And she was just the chick that was always in the Avengers mansion. Gilgamesh is coming and going. All other characters are Tigra's in, out. Like, she was just always like, oh, she's an Avenger. Bloop, that's it. Like, she had no real good storylines, nothing to really do. There was a really bad, like...
Was she, like, the Avengers secretary or something?
No, she wasn't the secretary. She was, like, you know, sometimes leading. She was always a force, but she was, like, she's, like, not Martian Manhunter. Uh-huh. Like, she just couldn't hold her own book, you know, without the Justice League, sadly, there'd be no place for Martian Manhunter, really, unfortunately. That is sadly. You know what I mean? Well, it's tough to write for a guy that's alien Superman, basically. I know he's an alien. So that was the thing. And, like... Yes, I think James Bond, I think Bourne, I think all these like spy reinvigoration of the idea of like spy tropes and things like that definitely brought her rearing back. But asking that question of the character and giving her a new start and making her a tentpole, you know, like when they did the Avengers, they picked the big six, right? They didn't have to.
Yeah.
They didn't have to have Black Widow.
Right.
But they said, no, we're going to have Black Widow. And they did it, and now she's as big as she's ever been. Yes. Like, she's has more fans than she's ever had. And I think it's great. And, you know, the legacy can absorb things like this.
Yes. Wow.
Metal mustache man.
Yeah, metal mustache man.
Mustache music.
I will have a robot head, but I will still have my mustache. It will be metal.
Metal machine mustache. So anyway, that's what, a ride costs only your life. So that's what we're doing with that. Find us on social media. It's so weird.
It is weird.
Find us on social media. I didn't read, I know they had a script excerpt. And this is something else too. You can't blame everything on Paul Cornell because I don't know what editorial came in and did.
No.
And even in that excerpt, you can like they're making suggestions and like you know he's getting noted to death.
Right.
Why include the notes? That's what's weird.
I don't know.
And then not all the notes are good, and you're like, okay, I can see how this gets watered down, but it's just so weird. Anyway, all right. Social media, Just Enough Trope. Look for us there. Subscribe to the show on your listening platform of choice, and give us a review and a rating because. Come on, man. That's what we need.
Right.
That's how we tell our computers, our overlords.
Yes.
That we're good.
Yes.
You should check us out. You should check out our show, Co-Videos,
uh-huh.
which is still being spun off into its own show. It's a long process, apparently. But yeah, find our new show, Co-Videos, with a bunch of old episodes and old movies that we've watched. We're going forward into the future on that because just like the pandemic, we ain't going nowhere.
Yeah, right.
So check that out. In the meantime, give this show... 5 metal mustaches.
No.
A fifth column of mustaches.
Oh, no.
Ready to spread the glory of Soviet threat. No, it's not. He's an imperialist. That's why it doesn't make any sense.
Right, right.
It all goes out the window. So let's throw this out the window. Give us 5 stars. We'll be back next week. Talk about something else. And until then, we're signing off. I'm your host, Caliban.
I'm your co-host, Mika Hanna.
Keep the geek fires burning.